Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
Good morning. My name is Grace Benton. My journey began when I was baptized in a Catholic church. I remember learning about God at a very young age and His love through the answer of a question in CCD. It was God made me to show His love and His goodness and hoped for me to be with Him one day in heaven. It was a summer day, 1978. I came to know Jesus. As I was sharing my very sad emotions of a divorce with my Catholic neighbor and friend, and she at that point asked me, "Have you received Jesus as your Savior?" Not really knowing what she was talking about, I asked her for more details, and without hesitancy, I immediately went into the house, sobbed, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior, to guide my journey and my son's journey. I went back to church, to St. John's, became very involved. I was able to establish a business there, and I grew more and more hungry for the Word of God and for this personal journey as Jesus is my Savior. Becoming more frustrated as my children, and I stayed in St. John's. I accepted an invitation to come to Bethany, and it was at that time I finally was in a place where I felt like I belonged immediately, because there were people who were just as hungry for Jesus as I was, and I was in a church that I could actually feel what I learned to be the Holy Spirit. And not only would I feel the Holy Spirit in that church, but I could also draw Him in my own personal life. Since coming to Bethany, I have been blessed in so many ways. God has allowed me a journey of being a strong-willed woman, never really being able to commit to another marriage, however, but with a great desire and vision for my family. I'm happy to say that my vision now is becoming closer to Him and allowing Him to have His will instead of me being a strong one in my will. As I come before you, Bethany, my family, I request baptism, to be obedient to God, to make my final steps towards becoming a member of Bethany, and I look forward to His promises, and I expect more blessings and miracles needed in my life.
Good morning. My name is Jorge Cecilio, but you guys can call me Benji. I've been coming to Bethany since November of 2016. My life before Christ, I was a normal sinner. I drank a lot. I did drugs. I got arrested, and I was in jail. And I cried out to God to help me there, but I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. And I didn't go to prison, which was great. And after that, I was just trying to stay sober. I was sober for a while, but I could really feel the pressure on me for some reason. And my mom had given me a New Believer's Bible. So I read that, and it had a prayer of salvation in it, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior then. And after that, everything's been not easy, but better, and I have hope in Jesus now. I want to be baptized because I want to get to know Jesus better and follow Him as best as I can. And I think by being baptized, that'll help me out a lot.
My name is Helen Jepchirchirkepseng. I've been coming to Bethany since May of 2016. And I accepted Christ in June 2017, during one of the services by Pastor Stephen. Before coming to Christ, I had lived my life as a Catholic, and all my life just grew into the everyday kind of getting ready for church on Sunday, and then during the week you have your life, and then you go to church on Sundays. So I just felt a big void in my heart where I don't feel like I'm getting enough. I have a spiritual hunger, looking for something more. And God has blessed me. I could see all the blessings. I'm blessed to was able to go to school, achieve all of the education that people get, but then still feel the void, still feel that this is not enough. At the time, I didn't understand that, you know, the way I was running my life, it's because I was doing it myself. I was like, you know, trying to organize my life, you know, get all the goals in place, but then without Jesus involved in it. So I came to realization that I needed something more, you know, spiritually, because in spite of all of my achievements, I'm feeling still very empty at the end of every day. After coming to Bethany for a little bit, I kept hearing the word about grace, God's grace. And so one day it hits me and I realize that I have had God's grace all along my life. It's just not seeing it, not being being aware of it and accepting it as that's God's grace. God has given me grace. The Bible says Jesus is the light and the truth, and the only way to get enter into the kingdom of God is to believe in him, and to be baptized is a way to enter into his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and through faith in Jesus Christ.
Hi, my name is Roger Davis Isaiah. I've been coming to Bethany now for about 3 years, 5 months, August of 2014. I first came to Bethany on the invitation of an amazing woman that I met, who on our first date actually told me that she was a Christian, a believer, and that she had a strong faith in her God. Normally that would make me run, but something about her just captured me, captivated me, and wanted me to learn more about her and her faith. She invited me here to Bethany. On that very first day that I came, there was a pastor, I believe he's a pastor, but it was Greg Hubbard. He was passionate, energetic, sweaty. I actually felt like I was baptized that day, but something in his words, something about him, something in his message resonated inside me. And at the end of his sermon, he asked us all to bow our heads, asked us if we did not feel right with the Lord, if we needed some type of saving, salvation, acceptance. And I found myself raising my hand. It was just an incredible feeling inside of me, something that just made me want to do it. I felt blessed that day. Soon after I accepted Christ into my life, things kind of felt better, felt more in tuned. I felt happy. I had an amazing woman in my life. I asked her to be my wife. And about a couple months from now, we're getting married. And I always wanted to get baptized, but something inside me kept telling me maybe I wasn't ready, maybe I wasn't righteous enough. I didn't know much about the Bible at the time. I come to realize that God doesn't want me to be perfect. He doesn't need me to be perfect. He needs my surrender. He needs my love and for me to accept him into my life, and that's what I'm doing. So that's what I'm choosing here to do today, is to honor him, to thank him, to let him know that I love him, do my best to be a great husband, a great father to our children, and hopefully just an overall good person for the rest of my life.
My name is Jacob Wong, and I've been coming for 8 years. I went to a Christian school, and I was born in a Christian family, and I learned about Jesus, and I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Now I know I can have someone to pray to when I'm lonely and stuff like that, and a God that will help me. I want to be baptized today so I can live with Jesus for eternity in heaven when I die.
Hi, my name is Paula. I've been coming to Bethany.
I started in Springfield with Pastor Berkey when I was about 13 years old. As my teenage years came, I got farther and farther away from the church. But I'm happy to say that in January 2016, I came back to know Christ. Before I came back, I was scared a lot, and I did not have the comfort that I have now. And now that I've come back to Christ, I just have an overwhelming comfort, and I know He's always with me. My aunt is in the choir, and she would ask me to come to the singing tree, so I came, and I was touched, so I started coming weekly. In one of the services, I had an overwhelming feeling of coming back to Christ, and I've been coming ever since. I want to be baptized today because I got an overwhelming feeling from God that it was time for me to be baptized. I went home that day and had two more confirmations that this is what He wanted for me. So this is why I want to be baptized today.
My name is Jessica. I've been coming to Bethany for about 8 years. I grew up in a Christian home and I went to Catholic school. I believed in God, but I didn't have an understanding of what it meant to have Jesus in my heart. I asked Jesus to come into my heart around 8 years ago. I had an overwhelming feeling that I needed to stand up at the end of the service to ask Him to come into my heart. The past couple years, my mom and I have been coming to church actively, and I have started to listen to Christian books and listen to Christian music to help lead me in my everyday life. I want to be baptized today to show the world that I have accepted Jesus as my Savior.
We've been doing an examination. This is a part two of the series. Sometimes pastors preach things that they're difficult to preach, but we need to hear them because they're found in the Word of God. Last week, we talked about areas of general unrighteousness, like being discontentment. You know, you've got the Holy Spirit with you 24 hours a day. We ought to be content with the things we have. The Bible says that we're a blessed people because of the Lord. Unbelief certainly is an area that we need to make sure that we have faith rolling in our life, not unbelief. And being afraid, we're not afraid of anything. Show me that devil and I'll get him. You know what I mean? We're just not afraid of anything. Spiritual pollution, we want to be very careful spiritually what we allow into this temple. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Unfulfilled vows, if you tell God you're going to do something and you say, God, I'm going to do it, then just do it. Or just don't say anything. Just be quiet. Don't make a vow. This week, I want to talk about something that's a little more difficult, and that's forms of sexual immorality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 and 20, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God, that you don't belong to yourself, you're not your own? You know, as we come to the closing of this world as we know it, when the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see more and more distractions, especially even in this particular area. If you look at the government, you see what's happening in the government. People are for sexual immoralities. They're finding them more and more. It's happened in the entertainment business, but it began in the church. I mean, there's a great problem with sexual immorality within the church. I mean, the Catholic Church really went through a huge problem with this. And, you know, it hits all of us, government, entertainment, church, and distractions, the distractions from the holiness of the Lord. Can I hear an amen to that? You see, the Bible says that what happens is in the end days, you're going to have false prophets that are going to come. They may even do signs and wonders, but their whole purpose is to deceive the elect. That's what the purpose of the false prophet is. The purpose is to separate the body of Christ, to divide us. That's what wars do. They divide nations. They come in. And there's a spirit of division in the last days that is coming, and it comes against everyone, but it's coming especially against Christians. And it'll get to be the place where they try to divide us, to hate one another. And more marriages are ending up in divorce, more and more of them because of sexual immorality. So it is a problem, because sexual immorality is a dividing. That's what they say. It's a sin against your own body. There's a division that takes place there. Our body is the Lord's. See, we're members of Christ. And Satan's design has always been to destroy the body, to destroy Christ in any way he can. And sin in the area of fornication in the end of days is going to increase. And sexual immorality is function to divide the body and to destroy Christ. We are here to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship with him. So one of the areas of sexual immorality is marriage with unbelievers. Sometimes this is a real challenge for people, but the book of Malachi chapter 2, verse number 11, Judah has broken a faith, a detestable thing has been committed in Israel, and in Jerusalem, Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves. In other words, broken his word. And it goes on and says, how did Judah do this? By marrying the daughters of a foreign god. And as for the man who does this, whosoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he bring offerings to the Lord Almighty. You see, the meaning here is that God not only cuts off the descendants of such a sinner out of the house of Israel, but even if they decide they're going to bring an offering or bring a sacrifice, something to bring forgiveness for their sins, it says you're not going to be able to buy your way out of it. For a Christian to marry someone who may be a covetous person is going to be a real problem when they want to be generous. For a Christian to marry someone who may be an idolater or a slave to the god of this world, it breaks the sanctity of marriage. It degrades marriage to being simply a carnal union. It neglects the object of a spiritual bond, two becoming one. And I know that sometimes we say, well, that's Old Testament. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 39, he gives an advice. He says, a woman is bound. See, there's a binding here that takes place spiritually when it's a marriage under God. And a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she's free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In other words, he's saying, be very careful on who you marry. I probably should be speaking this to the second service. Most of you guys are already married. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he talks about being unequally yoked. He says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? So it's a picture of two oxen working in a yoke together. And if you're not equally yoked, then all of a sudden they're not working together. When we did marriages in the Philippines, the husband and the wife would kneel, and when they knelt, we put a veil over the top of them, and they pinned the veil to the husband, to the wife, and then they put a cord around the husband and the wife, and the cord held them together. That's the idea. Now, Bethany, when you get married, we use a ball and chain. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. You see, the thought really is they're two together, and they're together, and they're separated from evil associations. So a marriage between a believer and an unbeliever, you have problems right away. So a married person who's married to an unbeliever, they say, well, sometimes I see people that are married to unbelievers and they don't have any problems. They seem to be doing okay. Well, eventually, you're going to have trouble. If you're married to an unbeliever, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law eventually. Eventually you will, because John 8:20-42 says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and he's a father of lies. See, what happens is as though we are constantly trying to find excuses to do wrong by pointing to what someone else has done wrong. You see, we should be pointing to what Jesus tells us to do. So it takes, if a believer and an unbeliever marry, their children are going to suffer. It takes a community to raise children properly. It takes a unity of faith to raise a child properly. Besides being unfaithful to God and His Word, the children suffer, the marriage becomes something carnal rather than something spiritual, and there's disagreement between the two, and there is the snare of the devil that comes in and works. You know, and I said, no, especially with this crowd, some of you say, what if my child wants to marry an unbeliever? Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You need to cultivate in your child a desire to please the Lord. That needs to be cultivated at an early age. Wisdom dictates, though, that a believer should not marry an unbeliever. That's the wisdom of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, it's been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You see, there's a really something that's really detrimental to your life is if you're a person who breaks up a marriage. If you're the kind of person that's going to bring and you're going to break up a marriage, because a marriage is magnified by God's Word and it's sacred, and there is a judgment that's received upon those who break up marriages. It's hard enough to stay married without someone helping you to break it up. So it should never happen. We see a history of this in Genesis chapter 20, where Abraham lies to the king of Gerar, Abimelech. He lies and he says Sarah is his sister. So the king takes Sarah into his harem, so he's going to marry her. He's going to make her one of his wives. But fortunately, he was warned by the spirit in a dream that Sarah was already married. So he didn't break it up. But don't put yourself in a position to succumb to this. You put yourself in a position to break up a marriage or to allow your marriage to be broken up. Don't put yourself in that position. Because there's a Chinese proverb that says, if you put your head in a lion's mouth, get it out the best way you can. You see, you just can't do it. Nobody else can. Neither should you. Don't put yourself in that position. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all sexual immoralities, extramarital sex. If you're married, you're married to one woman. You're married to one man. Now, women, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this, ladies. You have to realize that your husband has a very strong sex drive. I told you it's not an easy sermon to preach. I always tell young people in premarital counseling when I talk to them, I always look at the man and I tell the man, I says, maybe for the first 3 weeks you're going to think your wife's a refrigerator. And I tell the woman, you're going to think your husband needs deliverance. Realize it. There's a strong sex drive. And husband, you make up your mind that you're going to be a one-woman man. Amen. That's right, a one-woman man. Extramarital affairs often start in many ways. Sometimes it's with a lusty conversation with someone else that you shouldn't be, going to lunch alone with them. Sometimes it's a sports activity that you do with someone. Sometimes you invite them into your home. None of those things. You make your mind up that when you're married, and that's your wife, and that's your husband. Amen? Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes. No, I don't believe in petty regulations. That's not where I'm talking about. I'm not talking about dresses versus pants, etc. I'm not talking about the style of your clothes. You know, I'd rather minister in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide you. That's the key to this. But we do need to be very careful. We need to be careful where we go. We need to be careful how we dress, how we act at the table, whether we encourage or discourage a weaker brother. We need to be very careful because you and I are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Now, you and I may sin. Thank God we have an advocate. Thank God that we can repent. But let's never get to a place where our dress or our action is tempting other people to sin. Let us not ever get to that place that we're like Jehu or Jezebel. Jehu destroyed the kingdom of Baal, turned people back to God. That's what we want to be like. I'm sorry. Jehu was a good man. Jezebel painted her eyes and her face and led people away from God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 3. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatries. This is speaking about lust. Lusts usually are hidden. They're hidden sins of unclean thoughts, which break out into a wantonness and a sexual desire. Before we got saved, we heard even testimonies about people who lived in the night. They drank, they smoked, they chewed betel nut, they chewed everything they could get a hold of just to get a high. Before we got saved, that's the way we lived. But now, we don't get drunk, we don't smoke, we don't chew, or we don't go with girls who do. Lusts are things that are really hidden. It's like the story in Ai, where Achan hid the gold and the treasure on the bottom of his tent. And it prevented the children of Israel from having victory. After Jericho, when they went to Ai, the hidden sin that was there prevented them from having the victory. If we're going to possess the promises of God, we have to cast away this hidden lust. Even looking with lust. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in her heart. A preventive measure would go far here. The eyes are a gateway. It's a gateway to the soul. So be careful on how you look upon women, men, be cautious about that. Job, he made a covenant. He says, I covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl in Job 31, in verse number 1. So he made an agreement. He made a covenant with his eyes that he wouldn't look upon a woman with lust. There are some beautiful women in this church. Amen? There's some good-looking men in this church. Let me tell you, it's all vanity because the body really crumbles after a while. It's all vanity. Make a covenant with your eyes early. Touching with lust. In Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1, now for the matters you wrote about, it's good for a man not to marry. This is really talking about it's good for a man not to actually touch somebody with the principle of lust in their heart. And congressmen have gotten a lot of trouble because of this. It's caused a problem. Misuse of a touching. And I'm not going to be able to finish, so I'm just going to close with this last one. I've got about 18 more. Because this is a problem. This is a serious problem. Filthy talking, Ephesians 4:21, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to build others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Paul gives us a lesson about the power of the tongue. And it's really true. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Corrupt communications can come out of your mouth that can cause all kinds of problems. Another area that I'm just going to mention, and I'm going to give you the scripture verse, and you can look it up if you're taking notes, is being effeminate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters or adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. God needs strong men. There's not a woman that I know that likes a man that acts like a woman. Now, I know, guys, you don't have to go around in an animal skin in a club either. But if you're a man, stand tall. Be like a Marine. Shake hands. Because God only needs a few good men. Homosexuality, unnatural affections. God even goes so far to help us understand in Leviticus chapter 20 that death comes to someone who would have sex with an animal. Why should we even mention that? Because God mentions it in the scriptures. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to recognize that this body is the temple of the Spirit of God. We are holy people. One man, one woman, united together, becoming one. So he says, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. You're not strong enough to battle against it. Flee from it, he says. Make a covenant that you're going to be a one-woman man or a one-man woman, however you want to put it, that you're going to stay married, you're not going to cause any problems, you're going to stay together, and you're going to represent Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank the Lord. Stand with me. I'm just going to ask God's blessing upon us. Father, we are your church. You promised that we would be pure, white, clothed with righteousness. And we know that you're capable of doing this. For even when Adam and Eve saw that they were naked and they began to see the differences between their bodies, you covered them with animal skins, Lord. You clothed them with something better than leaves. And today you clothe the body of Christ with something better than skin and cloth. You clothe us with the righteousness that's found in Christ Jesus. You clothed us with that, Lord. So do not allow these sexual sins that are being rampant in the world to affect us, because we're covered with the precious blood of Jesus, clothed in your righteousness. So I pray for this congregation that you'd keep your hand upon us and help us to be effective witnesses in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Ken, just close us in a chorus, but you're dismissed. You may go. Bless one another. You don't have to shake a hand. You can pump or give them an elbow because of the season that we're in. God bless you.
With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. It's worth the fight.